Live from Miami, Florida.
I am Linda.
And I am Bella.
And this is our podcast, Mostly Peaceful Latinas, where every week we will discuss current events, politics, pop culture,
and everything else related to the state of the clown world.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. Before we get started, please like, share, and subscribe. I'm your host, Linda.
And I am your host, Bella.
And today we're going to go over a lot of headlines in the clown world. Things are getting crazier than ever. Every single time we open up Instagram or Twitter,
every day,
it's just absolutely insane. And
I feel like I go to sleep every night and I pray. I'm like, don't let the clown world peak tomorrow, God, please. But then
it just peaks.
It just peaks again.
It peaks. It's
full surrender and acceptance that it's just going to continue to peak daily.
Absolutely. And one of the first things that we want to discuss is the recurrent and nonstop harassing of the account or the content creator Lips of TikTok. Her name is Shayad. We discussed the time when she was doxxed by the New York Times reporter, and she's been suspended for Twitter about two times. And today, she actually had a Twitter employee, they called themselves Tweeps, leak some messages between Twitter employees saying that discussing her permanent suspension from Twitter. And the reason why is because she created a whole thread, a mega drag queen thread, right? So we've seen all these headlines of children being brought to drag queen story hours or LGBT pride events that are mostly adult entertainment. So she made a whole thread kind of saying this is going on in Illinois, this is going on in Florida, of every single event, which, by the way, they're posted publicly on the event's Instagrams or by the entertainers themselves. So this is public information. All she's doing is putting it on a thread. Right. And that was enough for Twitter employees to get triggered. You can clearly see the bias in some of these messages. And I found it extremely interesting that they even go as far as saying that we successfully got rid of Trump. It's one of the things that they said. They said, we successfully deplatformed Trump. I don't think deplatforming Lips of TikTok is going to cause a mass exodus, but I guess it may not be in our fiduciary interest to enact a ban on a high-profile account right now.
Well, I mean, let's start off with the fact that this has been going on for a very long time. So the publicity behind the banning of the Lips of TikTok really just ends up shining a light on what we've been dealing with for the past, what, 3-4 years? I mean, it got really bad within the last 3 years on TikTok. So I don't think that any of this catches anyone by surprise. I think that it's just more additional proof that Twitter will continue to remain a biased platform.
As long as, because the entire merger acquisition by Elon Musk hasn't been completed. So that's actually the problem, that because it hasn't been completed, they were shady about the bots and the amount of spam accounts that there is supposedly on Twitter. It's still being regulated or still being, how do you say, there's still the same amount of bans and than there was before this so-called business acquisition or, yeah.
Right. I mean, and they're still targeting the same type of accounts, right? We're still seeing conservatives.
It's not so much that, you know, it's not just conservatives, but it's anything that, you know, they banned doctors before if they discuss hydrochloroquine, if they discuss the vaccine information. So there is a bias that has been exposed by Project Veritas, which the author of Lips of TikTok talks about right now. But what I think is interesting is that they continue to give excuses as to why this woman needs to be permanently suspended or banned for a few hours from Twitter. It also happened that she was banned from Instagram for 24 hours. It was an error. They gave her back the account. But everything that she posts is public.
Right. It's all everything. The only thing she's doing is curating things that she's pulling
finding
from the internet.
From the left.
And curating a collection of these moments.
Right.
And it's in that curation, that one spot of information where everything is held together, that the problem then starts for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to fight that. It's not a narrative. That's not propaganda. Here's a thread listing, you know, 20 plus events that prove that this is an ongoing problem that's happening all over the country. So it becomes really difficult to battle that, right? Because you're battling truth and proof and common sense and not just, you know, the propaganda of the left whenever the month of June comes along.
Well, this is one of the things that an employee, so one of the employees said, and you can find the entire article and the transcripts of the text on libsubtiktok.com. One of the things that they say is, I don't get how this account, which exists solely to generate targeted violence at marginalized people, continues to be allowed to post. Because in their insane mind, if you so criticize what they call marginalized people, LGBT, somebody of color, whatever they consider to be part of this group, then therefore you're inciting violence, which is where they want to get her. And it's actually part of her article, because they say that due to these threats that she does, or these, you know, mass reporting on the drag shows, she's going to get someone killed.
Right. But I mean, of course, the idea that they would have any logic is, I don't even know why we would count on that at this point. I think that what it is that there's such a fear in being called what it is.
Groomers.
When you have pedophiles, convicted pedophiles, and I'm not talking about every drag queen is a pedophile. What I'm talking about is that it's come up several times already, where the kids that are being, the drag queens that are reading to these children are convicted pedophiles. Right. So at what point do we stop making pretend that this isn't a problem? Like, you can say that it's a hatred of drag queens all you want. That's not what it is. There's not even a proper vetting going on. Like, you're putting kids in a situation that, whether or not they want to admit it or not, is already an over-sexualized situation. And then on top of that, you're adding an individual that already has a past where they have inappropriate relationships with children.
What I think I realized this time around for Pride is that we have state-enforced sodomy month. Yeah. And now there's hate crimes against anything that contradicts.
So if you make the decision not to participate in June in Pride Month,
which, like, the players from Tampa, the Tampa Rays or whatever, they didn't want to put a pin that they gave them with the LGBT flag of the Stingray or something, and CNN was writing about it. They were writing about it. Oh, this is just a bigoted stance from the religious players. It's like, once again, when we agreed that the LGBT should have equal rights, right, under the Constitution, under the law, we never agreed that we were going to make it our culture, that they were going to completely take over the culture, number one, and number two, that you were going to be forced to participate in their Pride Week, which is what they're doing right now. They're forcing everyone to participate.
Right. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where they want to make the attack on, like, oh, well, you hate Pride and you hate the LGBT community. It's like, it's not about that. It's like, I want to be able to just exist in June.
Right.
I don't want to have to me personally, and this is a conversation I've had several times, I don't think there's anything to celebrate. I don't think that there's anything to celebrate.
Yeah,
I am proud of my friends that are gay. I'm proud of their accomplishments. I'm proud when they buy their first homes. I'm proud when they open up their business. I'm proud when they set off a new venture, when they get married. I'm proud of those things for them.
Yeah.
I'm not proud of who they choose to sleep with.
Right.
And I don't think that that's something that should be celebrated, much less with children.
I saw a very disturbing video today that one of our accounts that we follow posted, and which was, you saw the mother and the child, and you can clearly see that the child is trying to cover his eyes. It's, you could tell it's like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old. He's trying to cover his eyes at the parade from watching these grown men twerking, and the mom is forcing the kid to watch. It's like, you have brainwashed an entire generation, or three generations by now, two or three generations, to be so accepting of this degenerate behavior that now you're forcing your kid to attend these rallies and also forcing them to watch.
You know, it's one of those things where it's unfortunate. The majority of the times when you see this happening, it comes from white women.
White women.
It comes from white women. And it's, white women have been so programmed to be ashamed or act as, I'm not quite sure where, what it is that they're apologizing for, whether it's the color of their skin or this idea of, what is it that they call it? Not superiority, but...
white privilege.
A privilege, right. White privilege. It's like, time and time again, the Western woman has now prioritized social justice ideals over the protection of their own children. It's like, God forbid that the collective calls me racist or transphobic or whatever it is. I'd rather put my child in a situation that maybe I'm not completely comfortable with, as long as nobody calls me a transphobe. So it's almost like you're using your child as a shield. Yeah. I'm not a transphobe. Look, I'll take my kid to a pride parade.
Right.
And if he cries, I'm going to make sure that I open up... Quite literally.
Literally, that's what she
forcing
did.
Forcing her child.
Force a child.
To watch as the drag queen and the parade float is telling the child, we've got lube here.
There's been so many disturbing images this week alone, like Christina Aguilera and her massive bedazzled dildo on stage for an all-ages concert.
For an all-ages concert.
We saw the, what was the other thing that I saw that was super disturbing?
The San Francisco story of the Proud Boys that stormed the library, the drag
hour. Which brings us to the next point, which is that they're criminalizing what they call hate crimes before the crime even occurs. So apparently the Proud Boys actually disrupted a drag queen story hour in San Francisco.
To bring attention to, the fact that the drag queen was a pedophile.
Right. But now the problem is that they may be convicted of a hate crime, even though absolutely nothing happened, but a disruption.
So is this the second case that we're seeing this week?
So this
I know we're going to talk a little bit about
Another one, but this is what we're seeing now, is that the state is coming after people who want to disrupt certain LGBT events, which you're able to do so under your First Amendment. You can peacefully counter protest whatever you want, just as the left does it time and time again. They even did it here at FIU when there was the pro-life stuff. You had that the pro-abortionist people protesting the pro-lifers. It happens everywhere. There's counter protests. All of a sudden, though, people are going to jail before a crime even occurs, which is extremely dangerous to democracy, which is what the left likes to say.
Don't we feel that J6, to some degree, like the persecution for J6, is in part instilling that fear in people that if you get involved...
Yeah, that's what it was about.
The government is going to come after you.
January 6th was literally a way to silence conservatives and Trump supporters from ever rising against the establishment.
Well, what they've turned it
into. What they've turned it into, absolutely. So that... You know, we saw with the parents, we discussed it time and time again, domestic terrorists, if you show up to a school board protest and get a little bit rowdy. We just saw MSNBC or Channel 10 did a piece here in the Miami-Dade school board, which was hilarious, and it actually made us extremely happy. You have the school board members crying about, oh, you know, now the summer is around, we're trying to like lower the temperature, what was going on at
so
the
much
school
bullied
board
and harassment.
There was so much bullying and harassment and like nothing that we've ever seen because we decided to defy DeSantis. Well, that's the freaking problem. The first problem is that you decided to defy Governor DeSantis and his orders in the Department of Education, state of Florida. That was the first problem. Now you have pushback from parents and members of the community, and instead of trying to address the concerns and coming to a middle, you side with the state, with the what is it called, the teachers union, over and over again.
And you know, they, to me, it was one of the comments that they made was about the online abuse that they were forced to endure. You know, all that was done was that we exposed the fact that this school board made students sign non-disclosure agreements that had been raped by teachers that had been moved around the school system. Bringing attention to that is what they call bullying. That's what they call...
Well, and to be fair, I mean, we were trolls on the internet as well. And all of our followers
were
trolling.
But I mean, quite frankly, what other choice did we have left?
We had no choice.
We went to the school board meetings. At the first school board meeting, before one parent even got up to talk,
they had already labeled everybody as a domestic extremist, QAnon supporter, whatever it was called. But, you know, I think that we're going in such a dangerous route, not for conservatives, and I glad that we're having this podcast today, because I was telling you on the phone, and I've told people, I said, the left is making American jihadists right now. The left is going to be to blame for the extremists that are going to be born within the next 10 years in America, like you've never seen before. Because one thing that the left has is the ability to not forgive, try to ruin people's livelihoods, not let you have a job, not let you have a career. Even if you try to redeem yourself, they still come after people. What do you think those men are going to do when they have nothing else to lose? They can't get jobs. Their family members are you know, condoning them or shaming them. What do you think those men are going to do? Time and time again, we see how men like that, the Taliban did that. 20 years they waited, hiding in the freaking caves of Afghanistan, waiting to take back their country for the moment to do it. And they did it against the biggest and baddest motherfucking army in the world. And they still did it.
It's so dangerous
what the left is doing. Yeah. They have no idea, because they don't have long-term vision. It's just about getting even right now. And you're building an army of extremists as we speak.
Well, how many
people will push back?
Don't we talk to people? We had this conversation when NBC came to interview, which was, you know, what is turning all of these Democrats to switch parties? And it's the it's coming because the media, in combination with the Democratic Party, has gone so far left. And then not only have they chosen to go far left, but then they tell you that if you stand anywhere in a moderate center, then you are an extremist.
Right.
So they're the ones that are creating this.
Look at the abortion centers. Look at what they're doing. This week, there was another one. Last week, I posted about an abortion center in Nashville when it was burned down. This week, it was in Oregon. I don't know which city in Oregon. So they complain about pro-lifers not doing enough for children. Oh, you just want to pop babies, and then the right doesn't care. They just want their religious agenda. But when we do have these pro-life centers, these birth centers, which help people with prenatal care,
right,
and even postnatal care, you try to burn them down and you vandalize them.
Well, because they don't want to have a discussion.
They don't.
Which is,
they want to get their way.
We talk about it all the time, about how the right has to keep on giving in one inch at a time. And before you know it, we've given up all of our rights. Because the left is not interested in meeting in the middle with us on anything. And I say the left, but it goes back to what you're saying. This isn't a left issue.
No, it's not.
Like the oligarchy wants something done, and they are going to weaponize the collectiveness of the left in order to push those narratives through. So all they have to do is have, you know, Lemonhead on CNN tell people that if you oppose to a drag queen story hour, then you must be a violent right wing extremist.
Like they're saying,
white
nationalist, right,
which is what they automatically default, regardless of whether or not you and I are brown.
And you know, speaking of Latinos, there's been an insane amount of propaganda against Latino Republican voters. Mostly always coming back to white Latinos have internalized racism, which is why they vote for Republicans, which is what, because they're Trump supporters and they're racist. That's what they're trying to build. That's the narrative they're trying to build. They're not looking. I mean, they do know why it's happening. They just don't want to admit it. You know, and we saw a story, a very unfortunate, sad story of yet again another drag queen story hour. A Latino parent from Houston, he goes to his school board meeting, and he's telling the school board members that his son was taken by a teacher, an LGBT teacher, to a drag show performed by a convicted pedophile.
A convicted pedophile that's already been in the news before.
Right.
Like, it's not...
The post-millennial had already talked about him.
Every True Fur account has already posted. Like, yeah. This is a face that's already known, and we're still dealing with it. So it goes back. There's no vetting to this.
There's no vetting.
It's just... as blatantly as it can be, expose children to sexual content.
The thing is that, to me, the simple act of you thinking it's okay to take your child... So that a man dressed as a woman treats for your child is normal.
In a skimpy outfit.
It's already retarded me.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Now, this father, almost like you could hear his voice cracking when he's telling the school board what a horrible experience this was for his son, who took the videos, who took pictures and showed his father, and that the school did little to nothing. Once again, this is a theme that we have seen over and over again. Like that father that was kicked out and dragged out of a school board meeting because his daughter was molested by a transgender student. And the school keeps sweeping this stuff under the rug.
I think we're seeing that happen
all over the country.
Like where the school boards are quite blatantly sweeping ignoring all that they can, cooking books, so that they don't have to report these incidents that are happening widespread. And then you add on top of that what we've discussed, which is that the currently installed president, the Cabbage, mm-hmm. passed some kind of, well, I'm not quite sure if it was legislature, but basically where he said that the record keeping of teachers that had been accused of having inappropriate relationships with students, whether or not sometimes those stories come out and nothing comes of the investigation, that should still be documented, because maybe nothing came out of that investigation, but maybe now we're five investigations in and now there's a pattern.
Well,
Creepy made it so that those records are not kept. So now it's made it easier for these school boards to hide anything that they feel is a smudge that could make them look bad on their school ratings. Because really all it is school ratings that affect how much money they're getting for students.
The other thing he did too was the school lunch situation, that he was going to federally take away the money for, you know, underprivileged kids that get school lunch. If they didn't allow boys in the girls' bathroom and vice versa, they didn't have the all-inclusive bathrooms, which obviously put a lot of children, you know, I would be super uncomfortable if a male student walked into my bathroom when I was in high school or middle school or elementary school. But now it's come to the fact that the federal government is enforcing this ideology on us. It's no longer about accepting, about rights. You know what else I saw today that I did not like from a so-called conservative Republican LGBT, where he's going in and saying that we already have a hypersexualized society, which I agree with. And if that, you know, the current push from conservatives against this LGBT stuff, it's not really because we want to stop sexualizing children, but the problem is with gay people, and that he'd rather see a lesbian couple in that Toy Story movie than, you know, all these, and he named all these characters that were so overly sexualized, like Jessica Rabbit and all this stuff. And I'm like, see, this is the problem. Even with some of these, you know, this minority that's part of our voting bloc or whatever you want to call it, is that you're still comparing yourself to heterosexual couples. You can reproduce. The minute that we come to this agreement that, yeah, you have rights, you have the right to marry and you equal opportunity in housing, education, own a bank account, whatnot, you're just have the same rights as a heterosexual couple. However, the fact still remains that in nature, you do not. Period.
Right.
So why are you comparing yourselves to heterosexual couples, or what they like to call heterosexual propaganda? Let's be honest. In cultures, like in Korean shows, they barely even make out or kiss. They do not show any like sex scenes or anything like that, but they have a very culturally conservative culture or whatever you want to call it. We don't.
Right.
But if you're going to start comparing people, most Christian conservatives don't even allow kids to watch Disney stuff.
Right. They're not even allowed. Right.
They're not going to go to Hooters. They're not, all these things that you're comparing it to, they don't allow their kids to watch any of that. So I just think it's interesting how, like, now you're starting to see some of the right-wing LGBT get pissed off at the pushback from conservatives.
Well, because, again, does it not go back where the entire system is set up to victimize us into buckets?
Yeah.
You're Latino, you're LGBT, you're Black, you're disabled, you're whatever bucket it is that they can put us into where we can victimize ourselves. They are going to present those buckets for people because we're a lot easier to control when we look at ourselves as victims. And I think that unfortunately, even individuals within the LGBT community on the conservative side are sometimes going to fall into that ideal of victimization. And
I think their identity still remains that they are gay or they are a lesbian.
Correct.
And that is your identity. And they're not the, you know, dildo wearing strap on freaks that you see on the show. They're very much normal people that just happen to like the same sex. However, they're starting to get uncomfortable with the amount of
pushback
that's coming. And this is normal. I mean, we've never explicitly talked about this. Tucker just brought it up. There was once a place called Waymar. You know what I mean? And this was, you know, 1930s Germany, extremely liberal, sexual liberation. You had cabarets, you had first transgender surgeries, you had children prostitutes, you had a lot of degeneracy, right? And then, you know, things happened that people don't like to talk about, but everything is cyclical is my point.
Yeah.
So when you have an extremely liberal society, the pushback that you're going to get, it's not going to be pretty.
Well, the pendulum has to swing at some point. And it's, you know, when you're messing with children, when you're telling parents that if you don't allow, it's not just allowing at this point. If you're not actively pushing your child into this lifestyle of acceptance, then you are a bigot or a racist or homophobic or whatever.
And the straight kids are being bullied. Correct. Because we have spoken to students. Most students are afraid to come out and say, I'm uncomfortable taking this LGBT course. I'm uncomfortable talking about anal sex. I'm uncomfortable with this pornographic material. When you are in high school or middle school or elementary school, you don't want to be the pest. You don't want to be the annoying kid that is snitching on your classmates or complaining. And you're certainly not going to be, because in some of the schools, what they do, And I know it happened at Miami Country Day School in Miami, is that if the kids did complain about certain material, whether it was the LGBT or the BLM stuff, instead of the teacher saying, okay, how can we make this so that people don't feel uncomfortable? They actually took those kids to like a counselor so that the kids would be brainwashed into accepting this ideology. So this is a problem.
Right.
This is a huge problem in schools. Well, because that they take you to counseling. It's mandated sodomy and mandated transgenderism. It's so disturbing. We talked a little bit about the Latino community, and for the sake of continuing to shine light of what else is going on in the Latino community, we want to discuss the new Latino network,
right? Media network that acquired
about 10 radio stations.
Seven, it's actually a total of 18 radio stations, and Radio Mambi being
one. Radio Mambi being one. So a Soros-backed group, they got about $80 million, and they are buying out, I think,
a group led by two Latina women, which I think says a lot to... you and I talked about this, which is that we've been saying that Latinos are playing a pivotal role in swaying the vote, in swaying public opinion, culture. In culture. And when you have George Soros identify two Latina women to lead this takeover of these notoriously smaller
radio. It's all about audio, they said. They were going to focus on audio. I want to take people into the timeline of what happened. So 2020, President Biden still gains the most Latino votes. However, Trump got 10 points more. There was a drastic change
It was right. It was a 10.6 or something right. percent.
So the timeline higher. Goes. The timeline goes that the 2020 elections happen. They see how Florida specifically went red because of South Florida, and it wasn't just the Cuban Americans that voted for Trump. It was also the Harold talks about it. The Colombian Americans as well. Obviously, you have the Venezuelans. So you have a shift in Latino. You know, for Trump specifically, his policy. You're talking about someone that they maligned in the media every single day as a racist, anti-immigrant, white supremacist, and he still manages to transform the party into a more what do you want to call it inclusive, you know, GOP. That happens immediately on November 4th of 2020. The articles came out bashing, shaming. South Florida, Cuban Americans in particular.
Yeah, they love to say that we are, that the only thing that drives the Cuban American vote is trauma. Cubans are traumatized.
And they want to be white.
Right. Cubans are traumatized because of communism in Cuba, and that'll never happen here. And this is something that I grew up with that thought. I grew up in a household where my parents are absolutely traumatized by communist Cuba. My grandmother was a political prisoner for 19 years. My father stayed an orphan because of communism in Cuba. So my family is definitely traumatized for it. And I remember growing up, I was a Democrat when I was younger, and I remember growing up and feeling like, ugh, there go my parents again. They're so traumatized. They're so traumatized. That could never happen in the United States. We've got a constitution. We got a Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
Fast forward, 2019 is when I have that moment when I realize, oh, smokes, like, wait a minute. There are things happening here that do lead to communism that are not being protected by our Constitution or our Bill of Rights. Even when you hear the president say something, what was it that Creepy said? Well, that the Constitution wasn't...
It's not obsolete.
It's not
obsolete. That the Second Amendment was not obsolete.
Was not obsolete. You know, to watch that, to watch their continuous attack and to discredit the Cuban vote because they claim that it's all trauma. It's like, well, how about the Jewish American vote?
Yeah.
Like, is that led, led by trauma?
Literally. So, you know, with this timeline, again, it goes into Trump gets this Latino vote that they didn't expect.
10%
immediately,
increase, right?
Immediately after that, you have the media... Every single outlet coming after Latinos, you know, specifically South Florida Latinos, Cuban Americans, because they voted for Trump and that's what decided Florida, and it was a huge deal. Immediately after that, you have legislators, Florida legislators, Democrat legislators, saying that the FCC and the FBI need to investigate radio stations like Radio Mambi because they're driving disinformation or against the Latino community, and they're not becoming extremists and they're becoming radicalized. So they're basically saying that this radio station that has been around since, like, I don't know, the 60s.
So Radio Mambi has been around since 1939. It used to go by a different name. And it's the content of Radio Mambi is important because it's one of the only American radio stations that the waves get to Cuban land. So it's one of the few places where people are, it's not a clear signal. You'd probably have to go to a beach like my father used to have to do in the 60s. To listen to the Rolling Stones out of Radio Mambi, but they still have that signal. So it's a problem on both fronts because it's getting information out, not just in South Florida, but Radio Mambi has been around since 1939. And then I believe that in 1967, it was acquired and the name changes
right.
to Radio Mambi.
So the Democrats come out and say that this radio station now, all of a sudden, even though it's been around since like the 60s, is a problem, and it's radicalizing the Latino community in South Florida. Okay, they go as far as saying that the FBI needs to look into it because of disinformation.
Now, for the people who don't know, who listens to Radio Mambi? Because it's not you.
It's
you and
not,
I are not the
it's
demographic.
It's not me. We're not the demographic. It's the old school Cuban Americans that have been listening to Radio Mambi for like 30
Abuelas,
years.
Abuelas, abuelos, my dad.
They're already radicalized. Like, Radio Mambi was not going to radicalize these people.
Life
this was just
them.
An excuse for the Democrats to once again silence their opposition. So what happens next is that 2 years go by, the Democrats do what they always do, which is work together, come up with millions of dollars, take out their competition, and now they're going to be able to reach 1/3 of the Latino population. It's right. what I saw through right. all of those radio stations. Something else that people don't remember is that when there was a local purchase by my old boss, Marcel Felipe, he bought a small radio station here. I don't know if you remember. That was way earlier last year. And the Democrats actually wrote a letter to the FCC asking them to stop the purchase, to stop that transaction, because it was going to be a politically motivated transaction. How many Republicans have done the same for this acquisition that is going on right now? Probably zero.
Yeah, there's
probably zero
people within the community that I see are involved trying to get petitions signed. And but I think that the most frustrating yeah. part is the money. Is the fact, like you just said, Democrats come together and all of a sudden they've got $60 million from George Soros to make something yeah. happen and make their problem go away.
Right.
Like you mentioned, this has been an ongoing problem for the last 2 years to blame.
They couldn't just let it go.
No, they couldn't.
They didn't let it go. They said, we're going to buy it all and we're going to put Obama, past Obama administrators, the people that worked under his administration, these Latinas in charge. Who else is behind it? Eva Longoria, Ana Navarro's husband, people from Univision. It's a bunch of powerful Democrats who are going to try to get back that demographic that has been walking away slowly
right.
towards the Republican Party.
I mean,
and what is her side doing? I know I saw the petition. I feel super bad. That's not going to do anything. This is a free market economy. Whether people like it or not, you are allowed to buy out the competition. This is no different than Elon Musk going to Twitter and saying, I'm going to buy you off. And here's my proposal and people accepting it. No petition is going to stop the purchase of a private acquisition. That is a fact.
Let's talk about what the real problem is. What they're trying to do is sway the Latino vote.
Right.
Where are the conservative dollars?
Where are the conservative dollars? There's so much money that goes around. Look at Turning Point USA, mm-hmm. funded by thousands, if not millions of dollars going to some of these organizations. I'm not hating on them. Turning Point USA does a great job at reaching students at universities, even high schools, whatever you want to call it, PragerU. But the reality is that there isn't enough people caring about the Latino vote and saying we're going to counter also through the free market economy, mm-hmm. right? With a new Latino media, whatever it is. There is one, which is El American. An American's not going to be able to compete with $80 million that George Soros or $60 million that he put into this investment.
And that's just what they've put into AM radio stations. Like, we're not talking about the fact that they already control Univision and Telemundo. And I mean, I'd name more, but it's not like there's a lot of Spanish media there.
There's El American and that's it,
which is a problem. It's all a matter of querying. But you know what's quite hysterical? Like, everything else that they do always backfires.
Yeah.
The people that are listening to these radio stations will not be swayed. Like, I just, you need to understand who these people are, what they've been through, what they escaped, to understand that these people are not going to sway on their opinion. So the only thing that's going to happen is that they're going to destroy it, because viewer ratings are going to go down if they try and impose limitations on what the presenters can say. The presenters are going to leave.
Yeah.
So realistically, what I see is a great move of desperation, because I don't care if it's $180 million. The people listening to Radio Mambí would never vote for a communist.
Here's my problem too. When I see all these conservatives, I'm not talking about just people on the internet, but I'm also talking about legislators. We see Maria Elvira Salazar and Rubio and all of these Cuban Americans, Latinos talking about, oh my God, Soros. Same people who hate on Vladimir Putin on the motherfucking daily. What is the one thing that you can admire from Russia, whether you want to have a meltdown or not?
That Russia told Soros.
The fact that in 2015, the Russian Federation told Soros to go fuck himself and kicked out open society as a national threat from Russia. You want to cry about it? Oh, he invaded Ukraine. Oh, he's such a dictator. Oh. They don't have to worry about every single district attorney and every major city fucking up their cities with social justice laws like we do. Right. Right. One in five Americans lives under a district attorney that was funded by George Soros.
I mean, this isn't a secret. The fact that people haven't been able to make the correlation that if you've got a politician that's openly posting for pictures with George Soros, your city has owners.
Until we get rid of George Soros as a national threat, like Viktor Orban did in Hungary, like Vladimir Putin did in Russia, we are not a serious nation, and we are an occupied nation, and we will continue to be an occupied nation. George Soros should be a target of legislators to investigate his foundation and ban it completely from the United States. God knows
when. But they won't. They won't because of the amount of money that Soros himself and Open Society has backed into these very same legislators, which is why we're sick and tired of talking about it. The local fight is important. George Soros isn't putting money in. He doesn't have to buy Joe Biden. George Soros is putting money in to buy your district attorney, your commissioners, your state reps, your mayors, your legislators, your mayors, your school boards.
Look at what happened in San Francisco with Chesa Budin or Budin or whatever, that district attorney that was recalled in a deep blue city. Obviously, they blamed it on ultra-wealthy Republicans took out Chesa Budin. No. You set up a disturbing, disgusting social justice system with no bail, and the criminals could get away with whatever they wanted. Asian Americans were being targeted. We saw it every single day on social media. Asian elders being robbed, being murdered.
Oh, and completely turning
a blind eye. And all of a sudden, they blamed it on wealthy Republicans that took out this guy in deep blue San Francisco. That's not the truth. Moderate Democrats and the Asian community came together to do the recall, and they got him out. But none of that would happen if we stop the inflow of money from George Soros to these people. We don't have a nation until that happens.
We don't.
We just
and
don't.
We haven't. And we're going to continue to lose it
piece by piece.
And
absolutely.
Again, we got to reiterate it again. If you want to stop George Soros, you need to look at what he's doing locally in your city. I can't be in Iowa. I can't be in New York. I can't be in California. I'm in Miami. And I'm telling you that he's in Miami.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to take over this city with media. He's trying to take over the city with elected officials. He's trying to take over the city with unions. He's trying to take over the city with PACs, with nonprofits, with Arabella advisors. All of that shit is in this city. That man is not attacking us through Joe Biden. He is attacking us locally. And people need to really start waking up. You can continue to talk about Nancy Pelosi's drunk husband's DUI, all that you want, and it's not going to make a lick of difference. But I promise you that the teachers' union in your county is covering up something that leads right back to George Soros, because it's every single time.
Every time.
Every single time.
This is concerning.
Patriot Front. Exceptionally. And let me start off right here, because I know that I've been on a tangent about this lately. I'm in a position right now in my life where the way that I'm looking at these organized militias right now, 2022, is not the same way that I was looking at them 2019. Unfortunately, what it seems like to me is that a lot of these organizations just act as honeypots to attract actual real life patriots that would have otherwise organized. And we're not talking violence here. I'm talking about building communities, self-sufficient communities, whether it be with food, businesses, whatever it is, truly organizing. And they're doing that by creating these astroturf type militias that then get infested with feds.
Yeah.
The feds themselves are the ones that are creating the narrative. So then you've got guys like these, like the Patriot Front, which if you go back, and I think that it's important for us to read the quote, which is that they arrested 31 individuals, 31 of these members of the Patriot Front, and they do so under the authority, if you will, that they were going, what was the exact verbiage that they were going?
Conspiracy to riot.
It's a conspiracy. So
basically, they were charged with conspiracy to riot, misdemeanor, and released on bond. White said Monday the group was looking to disrupt events in downtown where there was a pride event. I don't know how to say that.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
I think that you know, conservatives always rush to denounce any group, any fringe group that they perceive to be problematic or in the white nationalism front or whatever you want to call it. I saw headlines everywhere about them being neo-Nazis, white supremacists. Other than your usual ADL and what is it, the Southern Poverty Center that, you know, basically generally calls all these people white supremacists. I personally haven't seen myself how they are neo-Nazis. It is mostly white young men from like 25 to 40 years old. Something that conservatives don't know, because they're always too busy to just run to denounce these white supremacists because they're just not like us, is that just a few months ago, these group of men were doxxed by Antifa. Over 5 terabytes or something like that was leaked of their server in Discord and all these things. Everything, their names, their social security numbers, where they worked, their addresses. It was a huge deal. And, you know, again, earlier in the podcast, I said the left is making American jihadists right now an extremist. It shouldn't be a surprise to people that there will be men who rise up to the occasion.
Yeah.
Has this not happened?
Historically? I mean, this is how we got our country, right?
This not happened? So why is it surprising? I'm not saying that there's no feds. They literally had to confess and say that feds were in, the informant were in their chats. However, do I think they are an entire Fed group that was organized?
No. By no means. And I think the reason why I preempt that is because I don't want it to come off as a defense of the fact that these militias are compromised. However, we are going to get to the scary part, which is all that they have to go on to say that they were going to orchestrate this
disruption of events.
Disruption is what they were wearing.
Yeah.
What they were, which is already this is so something
scary. They haven't even committed the crime.
We already saw this in J6. A part of what it was that they used to, whether, I don't know if it was the Oath Keepers, the 3%ers or whatever it is, to claim that they went there with the intention.
Sedition.
The intention of sedition was the gear that we were in. Mm-hmm. So God forbid that you wore all black or that it was cold that day or whatever it may be, because now we're living in times where somehow your attire is sufficient to be able to tell what kind of crimes you could commit in the future.
So scary.
There was a movie like this with Tom Cruise. Oh God, I can't remember the name of it for the life of me right now. But in the movie, basically, it's in the future, and there is technology that can tell when a person is going to commit a crime ahead of time. But the entire movie, the premise is how unethical that is, because you've never even given the person the opportunity to repent, to not do it, to change their mind. You're just arresting them preemptively.
And well, this is what's going on with
this
these
is what's
people.
Happening. It's what we're seeing, and it's targeted at just one group.
It's white males. Did they do this to the black militia that was going around in 2020? There was a not fucking around coalition,
yeah,
that literally went around harassing white people in the mountains of Georgia and saying that they needed a black ethno state. They were going to take Texas to apologize for slavery and all these things. And like nothing happened to these people.
No.
In fact, they shot themselves 2 times because they didn't know how to handle guns and they shot themselves
at the same event
twice.
At the same event, twice. 2 different people shot themselves.
So nothing happens. So brown people can organize, Latinos can organize, blacks can organize, LGBT can organize, Asians can organize, Muslims can organize, white people cannot organize. White men cannot organize. If they organize, if they push back, they now become an enemy of the media, labeled by the ADL as white supremacists, white nationalists, and they get arrested before they even commit a crime. How many times have the feds stopped Antifa or BLM from rioting? Zero.
Here's my
question. You're gonna tell me that they couldn't stop the riots in 2020?
I mean, at any point.
Or when we got attacked at the RNC?
Forget but stopping them preemptively. Imagine stopping them while they were going on, which they wouldn't. You literally had people in your hotel throwing rocks.
Rocks, fireworks.
In the middle of D.C.?
Our the RNC, we got attacked coming out of the White House. Out of and the police House. Did nothing. This is called political persecution, particularly of the white race. You don't have to agree with it. I'm not saying they're the good guys. It's not about taking sides. It's an analysis of what is going on based on the evidence that they have provided. So far, the articles that we're reading, the information put by the feds and by the state police has nothing about any crimes that these men have committed. And it's fucking scary.
You know, it's fucking scary. My conspiracy hat, which I put on often, I'm of the belief that these people are inserted into these militias, and I mean these people as in feds, or narcs, or whatever you want to call them, are inserted into these militias, and even to some degree entrap other individuals by presenting the illegal circumstance.
It's like the Gretchen Whitmer plot to kidnap her. Mm-hmm. It's like the guy that the pizza jihadist. Remember that CNN put out an article how the FBI was basically catfishing him with two Muslim women and the women were the one that wanted to commit these crimes. And he was like trying to talk them out and blah, blah, blah. They ended up arresting him for a gun. It's like what they did to Gypsy Crusader for the people that don't know.
Gypsy Crusader.
So it's not uncommon to
entrap people. This is entrapment. We're talking about it. And it's really sad. People need to keep an eye open because we definitely don't want to fall into the narrative where it's like all militias and all organized groups are bad and they're all controlled opposition, because that's detrimental to our party.
Absolutely.
But we also have to be very observant that when our party comes together, we are effective. Mm-hmm. So there are powers that be that will insert people into your lives, regardless of how insignificant you think that your role is to amplifying some kind of change. These people will insert people into your lives as friends, as coworkers, as love interest, as business opportunities. And it will all be done so in an effort to lead you in a certain direction and entrap you into something.
Yeah.
And people need to be alert that this is a war that we're fighting. This isn't just happening to to people that are in politics or part of the DNC or have something important. You, a literal nobody that's just showing up to school board meetings and it's just posting shit online, you can be a target of this.
Absolutely.
So it is important that people are aware of that, because we're seeing it happen
here locally.
Rampant.
Yeah. I think to close off, because we are about to run out of our time, we want to talk about the Build Back Better's best of the best.
Oh my God, can we hit the little button that has
the best of the best.
The best of Build Back. We Build did Back it, Joe.
Better. And here it is. So these are some of the recent developments of Build Back Better. Credit card debt hits an all-time high of $1.1 trillion. Inflation hits a 40-year high of 8.6%. Average monthly rent hits an all-time high of $2,000. Gas prices hit an all-time high of $5. Stocks are having the worst year since 1940. We're in a recession and they just haven't announced it.
Yeah, well, we're in a recession. You can't buy tampons.
There's a tampon shortage. There's a baby formula shortage.
You can't buy a medical dye that basically does the testing for cancer patients. And more importantly, because the installed president hates America and he hates children and, you know, he hates everything. But if there's one thing that he does enjoy is his ice cream.
We do know
and
that.
Ice cream is up. The cost of ice cream is up by 9.6%. So if nothing else had gotten Joe Biden to do something, maybe the ice cream will.
Yep. You know, that's the Build Back Better agenda. And one thing that I saw, you know, this week was a tweet that said low-income minorities and low-income counties voted for Joe Biden, tons of them, and they're getting taxed right now with this inflation.
The most. It's almost like I can't wait to see what the repercussions of this presidency are for the Democratic Party.
It's not for the Democratic Party, I think it's
going to be detrimental, because the party put so much emphasis on how Joe Biden was going to do things for these marginalized minorities.
Mm-hmm. And they still
done nothing for. But the thing is that they can't keep lying. It's done. People see it for what it is now. Yeah. So I'm dying to see, but I am curious to see where the other side of this is going to look like for the Democratic Party. Because I think we're specifically seeing, just watching the TikTok videos of black voters being asked Trump or Biden.
Yeah, and the how most ghetto people in South Beach.
Had this been 2019, everybody would have been like, absolutely not. Yeah. And now more often than not, you see people like, yeah, like bring on Trump.
Yeah, because their pockets are hurting. But all right, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes episode 11 of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. Please, once again, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And we will see you next week.
See you next week.